Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Seminole Headlines is brought to you by Register Sausage, serving the Florida Panhandle and Lower Alabama for over 75 years. To find a store near you or to buy directly from Registers, head to registermeats.com. That's registermeats.com.
It's time for Seminole Headlines, featuring WarChant.com's Jeff Cameron, managing editor Ira Schofel, and senior writer Corey Clark. Your weekly dose of all things FSU, pistols, and pies starts right now. Here's Jeff Cameron.
And away we go. Welcome in Seminole Headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio and War Chant TV on this, the night after Georgia ends a 41-year drought and takes home the national title. There you go, dogs. We'll get to that and much, much more momentarily. First, this hour, as always, or the show in general, brought to you by our friends at Register Sausage. Yay, sausage!
Can Ben do a... Maybe do a promo code for the dogs?
Hell no.
Okay.
No,
right.
No.
I know maybe Go Dogs or, you know, Stetson.
Go to Hell Dogs.
Stetson could be the promo code.
No, I don't think it's going to happen.
Stetson Bennett, the fourth. There's don't just... put the third in there.
How about that, man?
The fourth.
Get the IV off of your jersey. Do we need that? Or whatever he's got. Yeah, he's got the I and the V, right?
The I and the V, yeah. He's
Come
the fourth.
On, Stetson.
He's the fourth. But
it's bad enough your name's Stetson and you look
I know.
Like that.
Stetson Bennett looks like a frat kid, looks like a country club kid. But he also went to JUCO. So it's not a typical
it's a cool story.
Stetson Bennett the fourth type journey.
Somebody I followed last night on Twitter who I couldn't retweet because he's got his things locked, but he tweeted that Stetson Bennett is going to set all kinds of records for pharmaceutical sales in the state
yes.
of Georgia.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, he'll never have to work again
no,
if he doesn't
absolutely.
Want to. Yeah, he'll do well for himself. So anyhow, Register Sausage, yay sausage, and you can get it, go online, do the whole thing.
Yeah, man. By the way, our friend Eric Eggers, who's friends with Ben the Sausage Guy, shared with me some proprietary information, just some stuff they've been texting back and forth about some of the expansion of Register Sausage. Man, the footprint is growing substantially. So you're going
to
see.
Are we all about to see a bump?
Probably. Are we going to get more sausages, more types of sausage?
Kim's actually been asking me that, too. I was like, you know,
I'm not bored with what they have.
We can go buy. Oh, you mean more variety?
More variety.
Are we going to get more samples?
No, well, absolutely. We need to get more samples, too. But I'm not bored with what we have. I just, you know, I think maybe they could branch out, diversify a little bit more.
I don't know, man. We'll see. If you're as good as
some kielbasa?
They are at what they do.
Well, you're right.
You don't need to go crazy. But registermeats.com. If you don't live in the Southeast, registermeats.com is the website that delivers to you. Unless you're a hooligan in Alaska, and then they're not doing anything.
You got bigger problems than not getting sausage.
Do you think I was more excited about Georgia's win, or you?
You won some money, right?
So, if we recall, I first guessed this national championship before
right.
a single game was played, and put my money where my mouth was.
Did you? No,
you also
you
thought
this.
JT Daniels was going to be the quarterback.
I picked him because of their defense.
Right, but still.
And the way they've recruited the last few years.
Yeah.
Did you put any savers on anybody else before the season, or was it just all in on Georgia?
Well, I picked Utah to win both the Pac-12 South and the Pac-12.
Wow.
This is on record. You can go look
so
it up
you
on
don't
YouTube.
Lose bets.
I do.
you do. Okay.
I lost several bets. Listen, if you're going to throw a little bit of money here and there
you're
going to
lose
bets,
some stuff.
The key
right.
is to hit a big one,
right.
like last night's championship game beforehand, because you can get incredible odds before the season began, and I did. I got them.
That was a good number for them, considering
plus
all the talent they have. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, think about all that. It was silly that they were that much of a long shot, if you will. You know, because I mean, again, nobody's recruited better than them, other than Alabama, and it's really been nip and tuck along the way. At some point, those five stars are going to cash in.
Think about what a long shot they're going to be now that Stetson Bennett the fourth is gone.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly right.
That probably can't replace 25 to 1.
You know. every year during the national championship, and I'm sure maybe even people thought this when they saw Florida State win it, but one of the things that stands out, and it certainly did that 2013 season for Florida State, but it does every single season, there is a world of difference in the depth of talent and ferocity that you see in that game amongst the two. If the two best teams make it,
yeah,
you can see what separates them every time from even a team like Michigan. Michigan didn't look like they belonged right on the field with Georgia, and they actually didn't belong on the field with Georgia. Man for man, Georgia was overwhelmingly better than Michigan. And then obviously Cincinnati had no business. Now, I'm not saying somebody else should have replaced those teams.
Yeah.
They earned
it's not
their
that spot. They didn't have any business right being there. It's just that they weren't going to be
I'm
one of those teams.
I'm strictly speaking about the kind of talent it takes to win a national championship. And where when you arrive at that place where you're capable, your size, speed, strength, depth, it's usually readily apparent. I thought it was on display last night. Now, that's why Stetson Bennett's story is so kind of odd, is that most of the time people don't have a quarterback that looks and plays like that and still win an
Well, and overblown. It just shows how the emphasis on the quarterbacks from ESPN is just ridiculous. I mean, he did make the nice throw. That was a beautiful throw. Great catch by that receiver. Everything about that was really good. And he played well.
He picked himself up after
well.
Yeah.
And I was impressed that he never seemed to be rattled. I thought last time in the SEC championship game, I didn't think he looked as comfortable as he did last night. But that team is what won them the national championship.
Sure, of course.
That defensive front. And then the other thing is the point you're making, which I'm,
oh, you're saying they just gave
they
focused too much
credit
on Stetson Bennett. I thought you were saying that like this proves that quarterback isn't that
big
a deal.
No.
I was like, that was a one in a million defense that they had there.
I'm just saying, he wasn't why they won the national title.
Yeah.
But because he's a quarterback and because of his story, mm-hmm, that gets a lot of attention. Whereas there's a lot of dudes who could have played quarterback for that team and won the national title.
Yeah, Georgia was and
what would their record
loaded
have been if I was the quarterback? Because me and Stetson Bennett are about the same physique. I'm obviously not beating Alabama.
He avoids some sacks. I don't know.
No,
you
I definitely wouldn't. Yeah. But if I'm just back there and handing it off and throwing screen passes, does Georgia go 10-3?
You've had a bad shoulder for some time. I watch
you
throw
that
things underhand.
You can underhand count.
The shoulder problem's a problem.
I think that's a pick six way down.
But I would obviously – I got the Georgia strength staff with me, so we get my shoulder right.
Yeah,
do they go
10-3? You get the Tordal.
Do they go 10-3 with just a kid out of a chemistry major?
There's a chance they win at least 8 or 9 games.
Yeah. Probably, right?
Yeah, they're going to run into 9 wins.
They're going to score defense.
Yeah.
But here's, in this, not to get depressing, it's a new year. We got a lot of good things to talk about.
Yeah.
But on that point, James Bates, who played at Florida, was a guy, I covered him basically the whole time he was in Gainesville.
He was the one that could not catch work done on the
one of the many.
Yeah. But he was the one that had kind of the angle.
Michael Gilmore.
You're right. That's right.
But
sorry, James.
But anyway, he was on another podcast, and he was talking about how far this game, and he was saying how he didn't think there's any or many, certainly not many, maybe not any Gators at the current Florida roster that could start for Georgia or Alabama. And that's maybe not true, but it's probably pretty close. You think about the difference between Florida's roster and Florida State's roster. Holy.
I'm glad you bring it up, but this is why I do get depressed, and I have been lately. You know, obviously 2013, 2014, I thought when you looked athlete for athlete, I was like, Florida State, anybody in the country, let's go. The further removed we got from that, the more – usually it was just a segment group here or there, and then we got to a place where it was everybody. And you went, well, this is not good outside of Cam Akers. You know, and you would look at it and you'd go, well, he wouldn't and he wouldn't and he would not on a championship team.
Right.
Now, maybe you know, second-place teams or other, you know, first-place Pac-12 team, whatever. But when you look at those teams and when you look specifically, and we know Bama just reloads, but you look at that, the ferocity with which Georgia plays, the size, the speed of the guys. Look, think back on the was it the Michigan game? I don't remember which
it was
player
N'Kobe
was.
Dean.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that is an insane
play. But here's the
play.
Thing. We got to shy away from this a little bit. This was an all-time defense with eight NFL dudes. You can't – if you're going to compare a 5-7 team to that or a 6-6 team like Florida was, 6-7, of course.
No, but you can do it really with a lot of teams, even other top 10 teams.
My point is I don't think Michigan is that far ahead of Florida State player for player where you wouldn't belong on the field with them. It is going to take a while.
Yes.
If you ever get back.
That's the point I made.
Sure.
And when we go out to spring practice.
But
is
Georgia going to be like, I mean, that was a perfect storm of incredible talent. I mean, Jermaine Johnson was the best player in this conference. He couldn't start on that team.
Correct.
Like, I don't know that this is something that it's like it's going to, well, this is just Georgia. This is just Georgia for the next 10 years.
when I come at it from a Knowles perspective, and I realize, you know, as somebody that watched and covered two of the national championships and certainly went to the first national championship, and we all know the, you know, the dominance, the 14 straight years, top four finishes, all that. Every time you saw Florida State, you once said to me when you were covering Florida and you came here for a game and you looked at Florida State and you went, oh, well, that is different. The wow factor of the players, right? We haven't had that in a while. And when I watched, like, whoever the eventual national champion is, most of the time it's Bama or it's been Clemson or Ohio State, and in this case, Georgia, I used, because that's the benchmark. That's where I want Florida State to be and where they have been and can be. And when I think of how far away they are from that, that's what I'm referencing. When people get mad after we watch the first practice or we see the first walkthrough and I go, man, this ain't close. I'm talking about championship.
Like the Clemson team when that defensive line came back.
Yeah.
Like that
team. Yeah, yeah. The three first or second day picks.
Yeah, where you're like, well, there's nobody on this roster. Right. And that's where it does get a little, you know, depressing.
But it's baby steps, right? Like,
You're not going to do it
over. Well, and what they're doing in the portal right now, they're doing a really nice job in the portal. That's to get you back to
be competitive in the division.
Into that next tier. You're still you're still not anywhere near that level.
Right. So it is. And I'm along for the climb. I'm fine with that, to use their, you know. I am. It's okay. I've accepted. Don't like it, but I've accepted that's what it is. But I'm juxtaposing where I need this team to be, want this team to be, and rooting for this team to be, and what the reality is of a championship-level team in this day and age. And I just realize every time I think about that and we go out there, I go, well, Jermaine Johnson could play on a championship team. I mean, I remember that.
He could play.
He could play on a championship team. There were a couple of guys where I go, he could play on a championship team.
But
don't you have to change your lens right now and be like, that guy can play on an 8-win team. That guy can be a part of a 9-win team.
Sure. Well, in that case, you have several guys. But
yeah. Well, I mean, that's what.
But I'm saying I want to see. I want to get
to
where.
That's the goal right now.
Yeah. And I also don't want it to be an outlier. I don't want to. Jermaine Johnson, we said this the first day. I went, nobody looks like that on our team, and he's a transfer. It's not close. Nobody looks like that. And he's a guy that if he walked into Alabama's locker room, they wouldn't be like, who the hell are you?
Yeah.
He'd just be a guy. But if he walked into the Florida State's locker room and everybody went, holy Jesus, look at that. I want to get to a place where when we can go out to practice, I go, there's five such guys. That's not enough to win, but there's five such guys that they could walk into Georgia or Alabama's locker room and we'd go, okay, yeah, he's a backup somewhere. He could play. You know, he'll get some run. Right now, last year we had like one guy like that.
And it's most indicative, obviously, in the lines of scrimmage and then linebacker. You know, I mean, I just think there are a lot of – there are players on this team that probably could fit in the locker room on better programs. But, you know, we get excited about Darius Washington not getting pummeled, you know, the way Florida State's offensive linemen were two or three years ago when you had Juwan Williams or whoever out there. So just being competitive, you get excited about. But Darius Washington, and I love the kid, but, man, could you imagine him standing in that segment group with the Georgia guys and the Alabama guys?
No, right.
I mean, it would be like, hey, are you a tight end? Like, what are you?
Yeah, it happens a lot. If you go player for player, just the line of scrimmage, you go, this doesn't look like it fits.
No.
So you got to get there. It's a long way. And again, to pick it back up and get to the place where we're at, that's what they're engaged in. They're looking to do that. And obviously you talk about the transfer portal, and you can kind of fast track some things if you get a guy or two. You know,
or nine.
Well, obviously, you need a bunch, but not all nine of the guys that you bring in are going to be of the caliber we're talking about.
Sure.
But they can start here.
Yeah, well, right.
And they can help, and they can improve your team here right off the bat. And then, of course, with incremental gains, such as an 8-win season, you have the opportunity to open the doors to more players who do look like that, because now you're not off the radar. Now you're a team that's like, oh, well, they're interesting.
Yeah, and you know, when you look at a team like Georgia, you know, Jordan Davis, N'Kobe Dean, Nolan Smith, these guys were 5-stars. Maybe Jordan Davis wasn't, but the other two definitely were. Ringo was a 5-star. Yeah. But they weren't stars right away. They were allowed to build in the system. They were allowed to come through the system. There aren't a lot of Jalen Ramseys out there that just come and play on a great team right away as freshmen. You learn and you go. Like, you know, LaMarcus didn't play a lot as a freshman. Telvin didn't really start until his senior year.
He's undersized.
So, but that's the make. That's how you become a great program.
Oh, yeah.
But you have a good enough program where guys like a 5-star kid will wait their turn and just get, I don't know, 100 snaps a season instead of 500 snaps a season. Florida State's not there right now, but we know they're not there right now. Like, again,
that's nothing new. I'm
what
just you're
doing
you're
in the portal
in the face.
Yeah, sure,
a game like
but
that.
I mean, that's almost like saying that to me. That's like watching the Cowboys in you know, 91, the Eagles.
92 or
no, just watching the Cowboys and the Eagles and the Bucks in the playoff game on Sunday and be like, well, Florida State doesn't look a lot like that. Well, it's like, well, yeah, Georgia and Alabama are so far ahead of what anybody else in the country is doing right now, specifically this season, that it's like, that's no, you're not close to that.
Except the difference is you're, as a Florida State fan, that's what you sure, feel but, like you should be.
Right, but I mean...
And there's reality. I get yeah. you. I'm with you. And the reality is, for Florida State, it's, man, bringing these transfer guys in, doing whatever, developing players, hitting on some freshmen.
Become a good program again,
yeah,
and then you and become exactly, a great program.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, no, Bowden, and I'm along for the ride. I get all that.
Yeah, Bowden didn't come in and turn it around. You know, I mean, they turned it around, but they didn't become that type of program.
So with that in mind, the portal, I mean, they're just killing it. They're killing it in the portal. You know, I wrote the column that, you know, they had the 12th ranked recruiting class before the portal. If you throw the portal kids in now, you're talking about, what, top eight?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, it's certainly top 10, yeah.
But for a 5-7 team,
yeah.
I mean, that's really remarkable what they're doing, and it does give you hope that 2 or 3 years from now, you keep stacking on these types of classes, that maybe they're in a championship environment somewhere.
Well, that's where it gets very important that this upcoming season be another big step yeah. forward, because you're not going to continue to have a chance to sign classes like that if you don't have a winning season.
They've got
to
start capitalizing.
You got to start yeah. winning.
Yeah.
And again, I'm patient. I understand this is a long-term rebuild, and I've said that repeatedly. Lots of people who are realist and pragmatic about this understand that. So you're not going to go from a 3-win team to a 5-win team to an 11-win team. I understand it's not likely to happen. But you do have to see significant steps forward for you to open the doors we're talking about to the upper echelon recruits.
Well, and what they're still benefiting from, you know, Mike Norvell, if he sits down with a recruit, like, for example, the Michael Pittman, the receiver mm-hmm. from Oregon that committed.
And his brother's name is Michael, right? For the Colts. And his dad's name was
Michael.
So he had Michael Pittman Jr.
And then Micah.
And then went Micah. All right.
I've seen some, yeah, you like see families that go like
so what if you had another kid? Is it just Mike?
Mickey?
Like, he's like taking syllables off the name.
Mick. Yeah, you know, the thing about him is what he's talked about was that he liked what Mike Norvell did at Memphis, and he believes in what he's trying to do. He believes in the plan that they've laid out. The further you get away from Memphis, that rings hollow, and the longer you're here, the
without
plan
that,
doesn't carry much weight either.
There has to be an impact.
This is the window where they have to capitalize on this. They have, and I'm not going to sit here. excuse me. I know Aslan on Wake Up is caught up on the 10-win thing. I don't get the idea of like pointing to that. That's like some why we have to go on the record and say we're demanding 10 wins, because if they win 9 games, they're not firing Mike Norvell. So what's the point?
They win 8 games.
They win 8 games. They're not firing Mike Norvell.
So I don't understand why we're making that the line.
Hey,
in the
we'll
sand.
Take it up with Aslan.
I will.
Try.
If he
I
was
try,
sitting
buddy.
There, I would.
I try.
But my point is, there also does need to be improvement.
Tangible, yes. Like not in. Look, we know there was improvement. They had more wins than they did last year, which I mean, it still wasn't enough.
And they were competitive in games.
They were
and
competitive
also,
in every
a lot
game.
Of the numbers
in the efficiency and everything.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it's yes. sports and win. They have the W in that column for a reason.
Well, and if you take that next step, and you have improved the talent, it's going to be reflected in those
yeah.
wins. I mean, if they continue to grow in those efficiency numbers, I mean, the roster. You're only losing a couple of really key players. I mean, Jermaine Johnson, Keir Thomas.
Yeah, the defensive line is where I get
nervous. And Jayshon Corbin.
Yeah.
But I think the defensive line is going to be okay. So we get the Jared Verse kid. That's a big-time get. And there's a couple of things I want to talk about with him if we can do that
here in a second. It's a big week. The coaches' convention's going on right now. There's talk about a change in the coaching staff, potentially mm-hmm. a staff change. Obviously, we got a basketball game tonight against Miami, who's really good.
Yeah.
Just knocked
yeah.
off Duke.
Yeah, you're right.
On the heels of a Florida State win that was big against Louisville. And obviously, you saw the emergence of Caleb Mills doing kind of what we hoped he would do coming into the season. And Matthew Cleveland, by the way, does feel like a one and done. just a little bit.
Yeah.
So we got to touch on that. And of course, in the second hour, we'll get the headliner question. So there's a lot to get to. Seminole Headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Seminole Headlines returns now. Head to YouTube and search for War Chant TV today to catch the show live or on demand. Now, here's Jeff Cameron, Ira Schofel, and Corey Clark.
And I'm supposed to talk. We're finishing up a riveting conversation that we're not going to bring to the airwaves. Mm. Welcome back. Seminole Headlines.
Hey, I wanted to talk about Jared Verse.
Just about to serve it up, buddy. Go for it.
So Michael made this point the other night, and I think it's a really good point, because I wasn't too upset about the signing class, and I know we had this conversation.
Jared Verse, by the way, being the big portal commitment
defensive end transfer
You could potentially get 3 years out of, yes.
So if he's what we hope he is,
you just two. Probably two, won't. Just get the two.
But I wasn't as upset when we talked after signing day about the, you know, just in general. I mean, it was unfortunate what happened with Travis Hunter. It's unfortunate they couldn't get Marvin Jones.
It's unfortunate
they didn't get the Tyree West kid. But I wasn't too upset about like what they actually got, and especially the receiver position, because I figured you can go out and get transfer wide receivers that might actually help you more in 2022 than
kids that have played college
because
football.
They play college football. So, and that's worked out. They've got four transfers. That's great. I think they're going to do that. They've definitely helped that room. But my only concern was, you know, Mike Norvell hasn't yet really signed one of those big times, the guys you need to get to be at Georgia, to be at that level. Whereas Jimbo did. Jimbo was able to come in and get those big-time recruits. And so Norvell's done well, and I think he evaluates well, but can he get those big-time guys? And I said, you know, you couldn't get Marvin Jones. You couldn't get Travis Hunter, who were, you know, guys you should, you know, you were in good position for. But Michael brought up that Jared Verse is basically that, because he went back into the portal after doing what he did at Albany, and everybody in the country wanted him. I mean, Oklahoma, USC, I mean, Texas, everybody wanted that kid.
Big-time schools.
So that's basically the equivalent of doing that. So
he got a guy. Yeah, he got a guy.
He got that level of guy, right?
Yeah, and he got that level of guy when he got Jermaine Johnson. That's just for the 1 year.
Yeah, the Jermaine Johnson thing, though, I thought they had a little bit of an in with Dan Lanning being on Georgia staff.
He still got that kind of guy, yeah.
But this one, I'm not sure if Jermaine kind of went in and committed to them pretty quick. I mean, it was a quicker process. This kid's been in there for a while.
And also, Jermaine wasn't I'm not saying Verse is better than Jermaine Johnson, but Jermaine Johnson wasn't thought of to be what he ended up being.
His PFF grades weren't quite as good as they, you know. So anyway, I just think I did want to say that, because that has been my one concern, and I think a lot of people's. Can he ever get those types of players?
Well, and the truth is, like, when we, and I've said this, we all know this, that, like, you've got to change your perception of what signing day is, because it
completely
There is no doubt in my mind. I don't know who's going to end up being the better football player, but there is no doubt in my mind Jared Verse will be more impactful in 2022 than Marvin Jones Jr. would have been.
I agree.
I don't even know that it's close. When was the last time a freshman defensive end? I mean, Brian Burns he came off the edge, but he wasn't an every down player.
Situational pass rusher.
Yeah, the freshman defensive linemen just don't make huge impacts. So for 2022, not 2024, but 2022, Jared Verse is a bigger signing than Marvin Jones Jr. And you might be able to say that about two or three of the receivers you got in the portal over someone like Kevin Coleman. Not Travis Hunter, but Kevin Coleman, or the kid that committed to Louisville.
Mortimer.
You know, these guys are more important for the immediacy for now than the – but you also – on the flip side, you can't build your program just by portal guys. So eventually, you're going to have to get.
You don't want to build your portal.
Yeah, but right now they are.
They have to.
They had huge needs, mainly at wide receiver and defensive line. The wide receiver, they're done. I mean, they got four that have combined for whatever they've combined 200 catches in their career and 2,000 yards. So they did all right there. The West Virginia kid's a big get, and now they got to focus on the defensive line. Maybe another running back. Maybe another. I mean, there's still holes out there.
They did a good job on the offensive line. I think the linebacker kid's a plus.
I would get another linebacker, by the way. Yeah. I would really try hard to get another linebacker. I love the kid.
Hey, buddy, they only play two at a time.
Well, I'm just saying, you have to have depth.
Depth's overrated. Crazy.
It's a pretty rugged position there, Corey. I'd like to have some depth at that position. So, you know, and they've been so bad at that position, or they've been sort of a one-trick pony at that position. They got a guy that can really cover but doesn't play the run real well, plays the run real well but can't cover anybody. So they need to have some diversity of skill set at the position as well. So I would get one more linebacker. But
you'd get a defensive lineman, I think, before you got a linebacker.
Yeah, sure, because you have to have a lot of depth there too. And that's also an area where you're losing a ton. So absolutely. And, you know, again, I would think about bringing in a quarterback. But they have – yes, they've got a chance to improve their lot in life without question. The transfer portal allows for that possibility. It's exciting that they're good at it.
They're competent at receiver, right? Well, they're going to be competent at
receiver. Well, the West Virginia kid you just mentioned is a really big deal. He's played Power 5 football and succeeded at a high level consistently well. I mean, made catches in games over the course of 2 years. That's a big deal. I love the 6'7 kid out of Arizona State. I think he's a great get. We'll see if the experiment for the kid from Louisville, because he's got size and speed. So if you're going to experiment on a guy that's 6'4 that can run. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's fine.
Louisville, you mean Illinois?
Illinois.
Well, I said Louisville, sorry, I meant to say Illinois. Yeah, the five catch kid.
Deuce fan.
Yeah.
Big pup. Hey, 40% of his catches are touchdowns.
So you get a burner and I get all that. So, listen, I've been along for the ride. I have not second-guessed any of this. The Jacksonville State game was a deplorable loss. It's one that we're always going to remember. It set them back a ways, certainly in perception as well as in reality, because in reality they missed a bowl because of that loss. But the truth is it devastated who they were in the perception of a large percentage of this fan base. But I think for those of us that practice every day, those of us that have watched this process, we believe Mike Norvell is a good coach. We think he has a system in place that certainly players have bought into. And I think you're seeing evidence, certainly in the transfer portal, that they're very good at that.
Yeah.
I mean, when you're assessing facets of what your coaching staff does well and does poorly and everything in between, well, this is the plus column, and it's a runaway plus column. And it's an important one as the shift in recruiting goes to things like getting 9 to 15 kids in any given year and a transfer portal.
Yeah.
Well, I thought that, I've been thinking about how unlucky Mike Norvell has been from the standpoint of, his first year, which should have been his first real class after that 2020 season, he got screwed with COVID.
Yeah.
And then this year, if it's not for NIL, they probably get Marvin Jones Jr. and they probably get Travis Hunter. So he was unlucky there. On the flip side,
you just can't keep rolling that out there.
He's also been fortunate that the portal fired up. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If the portal wasn't in existence,
what would this team have looked like without the portal?
Could you imagine if you had to rebuild this team?
Think of this last team without the portal.
Right.
Without Jermaine Johnson, Jamie Robinson, Corbin.
So what happens? Are you firing coaches every 2 years at that point? Is there any way any coach could have come in and said, look, man, there's nothing here, and people would have said, okay, we're in this for 5 years?
Yeah.
Is there any chance? Or
I don't know. But the portal evens it out, man.
I agree.
It does even it out. And that's been a huge deal that they've been good at. There's plenty of other stuff that you can question, but what they do in the portal, you can't. They've made it a priority. It's smart. I don't know even how many receivers they were in on in December with high school kids, because you're thinking, all right, we'll go after these two huge five-star kids, and if we don't get them, all right, well, we'll just fall back to four Power 5 receivers that have already played at this level and more ready-made than probably the kid other than Hunter.
You're on the subject of receiver. We should and have to talk about the guy that coaches those receivers, or does at least for now. Does it feel likely that Ron Dugans is gone in your mind?
Well, I mean, why wouldn't you have signed an extension yet?
Correct. He's gone. We assume as much.
But then why wouldn't they have announced it already?
Because the coaching convention
is going on right now.
Yeah, the coaching convention's this week. And also, so that gives him an opportunity to maybe find something else. That's where they all meet and do interviews in this hotel. But the other part of it is, if the replacement coach maybe was still possibly even coaching this week.
Could have been on one of these two staffs.
I see.
So that's a possibility.
Hear me out here. I know he's mainly known as being a great Hall of Famer defensive back, but Deion played a little wide receiver in the NFL. I don't know if you remember that. He started for the Cowboys.
Yeah. What about bringing
Deion as a receivers coach?
I feel like that's probably not going
to happen. You think
there's
a package deal there? You could maybe get a couple kids?
Maybe bring a couple with him?
Just saying.
I think he would have come here possibly as a receiver. No, he wouldn't have. I was going to say originally 5 years ago, but now I think he thinks.
You don't think he would have come?
If he ever comes to Florida State, it's going to be because he wants to be the head coach.
He wouldn't have been on Willie's staff as a receivers coach, you think?
I don't think so, man. He flirted with it.
Yeah.
But I think the problem there was, and this is just my perception.
By the way, Deion would have been a much better receivers coach than what they ended up doing.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Just saying.
Yeah. I think he's had I think he wants to be a head coach.
I think that's evident. Seminole Headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV. How you doing there, podcasters? Good. Good to hear it. Listen, if you're wondering, for a good place to eat, watch a game, have a cold beer, enjoy a lot of choices, we suggest Horizons Bar and Grill.
Maybe even run into us.
You and I especially.
Yes.
I'm there once a week, I think. When I'm in town, I'm there. Stephanie and I are there. Great place. Cold beer, hot women. Everything you want in a I probably shouldn't have said that.
Well, it's okay.
Hot beer and cold women.
Whatever
some bars.
You're into.
I like the good looking ladies too. That's
sure,
all right.
But
even if that's not your thing, I'll be there. I'm a good looking guy.
And we would all agree, great food. Legitimately
good food.
The most
important part of this ad is the great food.
It's great food. They got TV, sports bar. They got the vibe, but beer, food, everything you could want. And most importantly, again, other than the food, is that there is at least, I'd say, a 35% chance one of us would be there.
And you get the mac and cheese bites.
And you can get those shrimp tacos, which are the king. You've gotten healthy on me lately.
I eat the hummus.
Who eats really that? Good. He does. At Horizon's Bar and Grill.
I like hummus. Maybe I don't, but Horizon's got some great hummus.
But you look for them on their website. You can see their happy hour specials. Just a great place to hang out. And it's if you want to like a little upscale dinner, you can go in there for that as well. It's at Bannerman Crossing at the right off of Thomasville Road in Bannerman, up there on the northeast Tallahassee.
Tell them Headlines sent you.
Well, the important thing is support the people who help support Seminole Headlines. That's Horizons Bar and Grill. And thanks for listening to the podcast.
Woo!
Seminole Headlines is brought to you by Register Sausage, serving the Florida Panhandle and Lower Alabama for over 75 years. To find a store near you or to buy directly from Registers, head to registermeats.com. That's registermeats.com.
Seminole Headlines returns now. Head to YouTube and search for War Chant TV today to catch the show live or on demand. Now, here's Jeff Cameron, Ira Schofel, and Corey Clark.
So we do think, I guess to put a ribbon on that question before the break, which is that we think there are probably going to be some staff changes.
Oh, so
the wide receiver coach.
It just seems like if it hasn't happened yet, why wouldn't it?
You're talking about the extension.
Yeah, exactly.
Do they normally announce extensions, though? Would we know?
I mean, we've all put in requests. I mean, we put in requests for new contracts.
Okay.
And the fact that there was a report last week out of Penn State that they were having conversations with Juwan Sider, their running backs coach, for Florida State. So that the perception is that what seems likely is if Ron Dugans has been told you need to find a new home, which is very possible based on what's happened here the last few years, then the idea would be you could move David Johnson to wide receivers coach and bring in a running backs coach
who also
can help recruit.
Okay.
Because Johnson coached receivers before.
Okay.
So we'll see.
And that running backs coach might be yours at Georgia.
Possibly. Could be.
Is he going to bring any of those guys with him?
Well, that would be the hope, right?
It's actually funny. We didn't text much during the game, but Ira did text me last night. He's like, what'd you text about Cook? He's not special.
This Cook kid isn't special,
and he's not.
He wasn't
Dalvin.
Special.
No,
he had eight runs where he just didn't.
He's just
he just runs into.
But
dudes.
the first half, those Georgia running backs ran like I would have run against Alabama. Yeah. Like anytime somebody was near him, it's like, well, let's fall down. Yes. I don't want to get hurt.
The one guy just got touched on his ankle and fell down.
Like, all right, I mean, what's going on? And then literally, right, like probably 4 minutes after you texted that, he ripped off the 67-yard run.
He can do that.
He's not Dalvin.
Yeah,
but he's not bad. He'll play
in
the league.
Not too many people are Dalvin.
No,
in
but it's tough. It's tough to wear that number, have the same haircut, be Dalvin's brother, and
it's like being Ozzie Canseco. I think
Ozzie's a little worse even because he's the twin. I mean, what are you saying to people? Like, yeah, he got all of it.
Yeah. So that said, Del McGee is your running backs coach at Georgia.
Does he have any relationship
with?
He may
soon be the running backs coach at Florida State, would be the rumor that is out there. And that would be something that I think most Florida State fans would be pretty excited about.
So Lanning wouldn't take him to Oregon?
He has strong ties. I believe Michael Langston reported this. Gene Williams certainly referenced it. He has ties to, obviously, high school coaches throughout the state of Georgia.
Yeah, that's good.
So he'd be an asset in that way. And he might be offered to come in, allegedly, rumor has it, as a co-OC. So an opportunity to expand his role and title as coming in here and you know, maybe...
Look, man, get somebody that you know can recruit.
Get somebody you know can recruit.
Look, what the smartest thing Jimbo did, and he did a lot of smart things when he took over, he loaded that staff with dudes that could recruit. That's all they were.
Yeah, they were glorified
recruiters. Damien Craig and James Coley were not helping with the game plan each week.
It was Eddie Gran. Mark Stoops was a good recruiter. I mean, that first staff was a very good recruiter.
But the guys on offense were almost all specifically, other than Trickett, were there to recruit. That was their jobs. You got to get some guys, and I'm not saying they don't have them, but whoever you hire, I don't need somebody to teach how to get up into a blitzing linebacker. Go get a kid from Miami.
Running backs coaches and receivers coaches have to be big time recruiters.
Notoriously, that is exactly what they are.
When the fault with Dugans, and there is one, is that he ain't bringing anyone in the high school ranks.
Do you remember, speaking of which, when we talk about roles of staff members, Jimbo Fisher, who was last night, I watched a lot of that. I don't know if you guys watched
it. Hell no.
Well, let me tell you why I did.
It looked weird.
It would have been so much better if they eliminated the rest of his staff and just had him talk.
That's all I saw on Twitter was people complaining about that.
Well, because their mics were terrible, except his mic was great. Everybody else's mic, like James Coley and all that. And by the way, when James Coley's starting to talk, I'm like, just shut. Nobody, we all know why you're there. You're not coaching a damn thing. Anyhow, so while that was going on, right. I remember thinking,
was he criticizing Saban, James Coley?
No, but he would go to weigh in. I'd be like, just let Jimbo do it. You're not going to say anything insightful. But as this went on, I kept thinking, they just need to mute those other mics and let this guy, and then they didn't need to split screen, just have him look at the game, tell you why they're in, what they're in, and what they're looking to exploit, because he did a good job of that throughout the night. But the point would be, he was talking about, and he has said this before, talking about running backs. He was like, well, you know, when you recruit a running back, it's not so that you can get him on campus and teach him how to run. If I have to teach you how to run, then
we
got the wrong guy. So hence, running back coaches, I mean, you better be able to recruit. That's what the hell you're there to do.
Wide receivers coach, too. Like, again, Jeff Bowden, by all accounts, was the best wide receivers coach in college football history. All he did was produce incredible players. I mean, just get guys on campus. That's all you're supposed to do.
That is your job in those positions.
By the way,
get guys on campus.
Not to impugn Nick Saban, he's the best that's ever done it.
The end of the first half. What in the world are we doing?
I don't know that he got asked about that.
Well, he got killed in the Jimbo cast. Jimbo was like, this is ridiculous.
But there's no.
Of all people. Jimbo. Yeah.
Oh, he was. First, I'll give him credit. He first guessed it. He's like, well, here's what they should do, what I think they'll likely do. And then when it wasn't happening and all that time was running off, he's like, I don't know.
It made no sense.
Yeah. What were they? It wasn't like you're facing your quarterback. No, you're facing Stetson Bennett at the 10. They've scored 6 points the whole half. Kirby just wants to get to the locker room. You've got a minute and a half left with a Heisman Trophy winner.
Yeah, Kirby was looking like the guy that's trying to survive the round. Right. He's up against the ropes.
And Georgia's getting the ball out of the half.
Yeah, so why in the world would you not call timeout to make them punt? They're not going to go 75 yards
on you. No,
they're
definitely not.
They only
want to. About that
and you
would have
had over a minute.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Glad
he's not our coach. Tough to deal with that nonsense.
But it wasn't – I mean, I didn't understand Alabama's play calling. I thought they were – I mean, it's like they kept taking all the shots down the field. It's like, man, what are you doing? Your receivers – when Georgia took theirs, I knew that kid was going to catch that ball. I just knew it.
You could feel it in your bones.
Georgia's receivers were playing like men for the most part. The attitude you talked about earlier on defense. I mean, Georgia – Kirby had that team in a mental state, and I think that probably speaks to the stat Aslan Texas before the game about rematches. Usually the team that lost first game wins. That I probably didn't realize that Georgia was the more motivated team, the more
angrier team, the more talented team.
The SEC championship game was the exact opposite. Right. Georgia was like, okay, we're in no matter what.
Georgia was in no matter what, and you can't manufacture that emotion.
If you watched, and I did, because I wasn't like angry. I was just angry that they played so poorly in that game against Alabama the first time. But I watched Kirby after the game. And you could tell it didn't bother him really at all. Yeah. Like it's almost like that's fine. They did what they had to do. That's fine. He got lucky that their two best wide receivers pieced out and couldn't play anymore.
One got hurt in the Georgia game, and the other got hurt in the Georgia game. Yeah, yeah.
That's what. Hey, they can't. If you can't handle it, you can't run with the dogs. You're gonna tear ligaments. Yeah. Hey, you know who else had to play without Jameson Williams? Stetson Bennett. And Stetson Bennett went out and won a championship. That's all I'm saying. He didn't have Jameis Williamson on his team either.
One final thing real quick, just to make you laugh. Unfortunately, when the Williamson injury occurred.
Is he draft eligible, by the way?
I think he's coming back.
Well, he wouldn't have if he was.
We'll see. But one thing is that they're watching the video. They're watching the play, and Jimbo's on to the next play, and his staff in the room is like, oh, I think he's injured. I was like, what happened? Because he wasn't watching the end of the play. They showed one replay, and Jimbo goes
ACL.
Oh, he ACL'd it. He goes, he ACL'd it. And then the rest of the staff kind of looks over at him. He's like, oh, he ACL'd it.
Quick. Hey, he's probably right.
He's probably
but it's
right.
It's funny that it's just that initial diagnosis.
It's also funny how much crap he's given media over the years about saying anything about injuries until there's been an evaluation. Give my man a microphone. He's like, ACL.
He knew right away. They showed that one view from behind.
Even Stephanie was like, oh, no. I'm like, it's not that unfortunate. The kid's still going to make a lot of money in his life. He's going to make a lot of money in his life.
Don't do that.
Boo.
Don't do that.
Sorry, guys.
The other thing about, I mean, I don't know, man. Like, Kirby, I'm curious to see what he does. He's a guy that I could see going to the NFL. Like, I never thought Jimbo would be an NFL guy. I could see Kirby being an NFL guy.
I think he's got similar traits, though, man.
Let me say this. He's got a pass to stay in Georgia for as long as he'd like.
Sure.
I mean, at least another 5 years. Like, they don't have to win anything now because he's got the monkey on his back.
I just think Jimbo, the way he treats players, would never work in the NFL.
No.
But I don't think Kirby's quite that same guy.
I would say that if Fisher went to the NFL, he'd want to go to the NFL, oddly enough, as a coordinator.
Right.
Just an OC, just shut up and call plays and leave me alone. That's what he would want.
Jimbo, yeah. Well, yeah. But he's fine where he's at, I think.
So did Kirby and Saban both come out against the NIL or say they're concerned about it?
Well, they talked about their concerns. They didn't come out against. They just talked about the need for regulation.
It's so funny because, this is exactly what we talked about a few weeks ago. Now that you have NIL, it opens up the door for those Texas schools, those California schools.
Other schools in general.
That maybe weren't willing to do the things you guys were willing to do under the table.
Right.
But now it's in the broad daylight. Man, they've got plenty of people that are willing to do it. And now they're concerned.
Yeah. Well, they were never concerned with coaches' salaries being raised by $2 and $3 and $4 million a year either.
And Saban was concerned when Bryce Young got his seven-figure contract before he played a game.
Right. Yeah.
But now we're concerned.
Saban makes $12 million a year.
But now he saw that Texas A&M class and
he's like, well,
and what
it's getting out of hand, guys.
What my man Lincoln Riley's doing at Southern Cal, which
his quote was something to the point of like it might really imbalance the country and like
the imbalance has always been there, my brother.
It's like, man, the school you coach at, Nick Saban, spends what $50 million a year on football, just on salaries and just like quality control.
It's a halfway
and everything.
House for every fired coach.
I mean, good grief, that's four times more than the people
you're
competing against.
Your line coach is a former NFL head coach.
Yeah.
That creates the imbalance, man. The NIL can actually maybe shrink the imbalance a little bit.
They have to get a handle on what is fair and not fair, real and not real at each state, and you know,
for
what
sure
is the law,
100%.
Right?
Yeah. But they are, you know, it's what's going to happen. Southern Cal and Texas A&M and Texas are what have those schools all really concerned. Leonard Hamilton, I thought, had some really good comments yesterday.
Great, and he doesn't just weigh in, as you noted correctly on WarChant.com, that he doesn't usually just weigh in for the sake of weighing in. He's had some time to think about it. Some of the headlines. We'll touch on that. 93.3 Real Talk Radio, WarChant TV continues in a moment.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Seminole Headlines returns now. Head to YouTube and search for War Chant TV today to catch the show live or on demand. Now, here's Jeff Cameron, Ira Schoffel, and Corey Clark.
Tonight, Florida State basketball against Miami, who on the road took out Duke over the weekend.
Is Florida State still a seven-point favorite?
They are.
What?
I don't understand that at all.
It is strange. Florida State does lead the all-time series between these two programs, 51-36.
Oh, never mind.
Okay, what's the winning streak at, guys?
Oh, I'm going to say eight.
It is seven.
Oh,
you're three away from the Platinum Bohica on Miami. Come get you,
you
some, boys.
You got to play them twice in the next couple
gotta
weeks.
Got to win this one.
But nobody could believe they were like 4.5-point favorites against Louisville either.
Yeah, it's just – but
Vegas
Miami
knows
just
about
went
the
on the
talk.
Yeah, that's true. They went on the road and like –
But it was they did, but they were on the road Saturday and played Duke down to the wire.
Yeah.
But 2 days later, they got to play –
they got to come into this –
I mean, you know, Florida State's a good team, and it's on the road. It's here.
I don't know if Florida State's a good team, but Florida State's a capable team of beating
program.
Miami. Yeah.
It's a good program.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they have owned them. And they have owned them.
Yeah, they have owned them. Now, Miami last year was riddled with injury, and it decimated their program. They do return four guys who missed a ton.
And they brought in two transfers for a pretty big time.
Really good players.
So, yeah, it's going to be – there's no doubt it's going to be –
they got three guys that can really – the one kid, the Charlie Moore, who looks 14 – is actually 24 years old, literally 24 years old.
School.
This is his fourth Division I school.
5'11", 180.
Like, yeah. So you got him, you've got McGusty.
You got Miller, you got Wong.
And Wong is a great player. McGusty's good too, man. They got three dudes that can just go get baskets.
And
so
you're
going to have to get to 75 or 80 to win this game, I think, because Miami's going to score.
It's going to be a good game. I'm just glad that it's going to look – there's reason for excitement because – you know, after the Wake Forest game, I was like, man, if they get beat at home by Louisville,
correct,
and then they have to turn around and play Miami, who's good now, and they're the
crowd haven't had one of these
great
seasons in a while.
But
McGusty's averaging nearly 19 points a game, to your point. Yeah, he's a good player. So I said to Ira on yesterday's show, and this is a short segment, so I want your thoughts on this because you pay close attention to basketball as well.
And close attention to your show.
Always.
Yeah.
Always have.
Dialed in.
I've always appreciated that support. The thing is, I know that Ham wants to win a certain way, and he's done a great job with it. So it's not necessarily being critical, But they can't win that way. And I think they got to win, not this year.
Yes.
I think they got to do what they did on Saturday, which is allow your two best players to kind of
do. How many shots do you get in a game normally? 55, 60 as a team? I think there were 15 of 62 against Wake. So let's say they get 65.
So how many of those do you want to be taken by either Matthew Cleveland or Caleb Mills?
40.
Me too.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about Cleveland, though, just because.
Well, I mean, he's getting to the
basket.
They got to
be the right kind of shots. Yeah.
But he is athletic enough and savvy enough.
He can get his own shots. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and but Mills, I don't need him shooting all 18-footers.
Well, no, but like, I don't need Polite shooting
like
anything but a layup.
Did you not see the silky smooth three as the buzzer was about to
be? Think about that confidence that gives him before the second one of his career.
He's about to be a pull-up central. Yeah.
How about Jalen Worley, who can't really shoot at all? He's 3 of 6 from three this year. My man's 50%. You got to start gunning it more, Worley.
And the ball hasn't rotated once.
It doesn't rotate, but he's made three. But yes, you know, look. You got it. You got two guys. You got one guy that could be a special scorer if he's on, and then you got Cleveland, who I think is a special player. Other than that, you have a lot of role players who aren't exceptional, who aren't filling their roles all that well right now.
No, not at all.
Well, look, man, Polite. It's not like Polite hasn't done it. Polite's hit huge shots in tournament games, and he shot 44% from three last year. This year, he's 25%.
I give him credit for the other night. He's not shooting well.
And he rebounded well. Show,
and he made some free throws, too.
He really did. He had a couple steals.
And he and Worley both had big buckets when they were kind of...
And they hit free throws. Yeah. And by the way, this team leads the conference in steals. Florida State does. So, I mean, they get out in transition when they're good on defense, especially if they're active in the passing lanes, and they are athletic enough to get to the rim.
And you can look at that Louisville game two ways. Some people say, oh, well, Louisville missed some big shots down the stretch, which is fair.
Speaking of, if
Florida State had made any decent number of their free throws,
especially early in the game,
then it's a
blowout. Early during that stretch, half, they would have survived
Mac
that run.
Mac has to be like, what the hell? Yeah. I mean, that's his series, if you will, going all the way back to when he first faced Leonard Hamilton. He had to feel like, oh, I'm going to own this man.
He angered the basketball gods with that win over Jonathan Isaac in the tournament.
Ever since then, it's like bend over, sir.
Man,
it's
he was the number one seed, and Florida State came back from 12 in the final eight minutes in the tournament, and he keeps
never
losing.
Recovered.
Yeah, I think I think even the time Louisville beat Florida State in the last 4 years was when they had the interim coach at the ACC tournament.
They've lost five straight to Florida State now, right? And they're generally speaking not all that close.
No, I mean this one. This was a 2-3 point game. But yeah, you're right. It's not like Florida State's had to make some miraculous.
Well, think
runs.
About the beatdown up at Louisville at the Yum Center after
last
the game,
year and the MJ Walker game a few years ago.
And that's the game in which afterwards his press conference was spectacular because he said two things that made me laugh. One, which is I know the fans were watching the game thinking, "What the hell?" which is a funny thing for a coach to say. And the second thing he said was, "We got manhandled." Every time he faces Leonard's teams these days, that's exactly what happened.
You know what I did last night, which I shouldn't have done? I was feeling great in my mood of Georgia winning. I went back and watched some Florida State basketball games from 2 years ago, Trent's last year. Man, that was
a good team.
That was a great – I watched the Louisville game.
Why
both
did you
of
do
them.
That? Why did – I don't. It just angers you.
It shows up on my YouTube suggestions, and I'm like, you know what? I haven't watched that
that's
Florida
the Trent
State.
Forrest Dunk game.
Yeah, and in the Patrick Williams one too. Yeah. But in the one up there.
And
when
the
they
loudest
there.
I've ever heard it in the TLC double
C. Yeah, that was crazy. And it's like, man, it's just such a – that team was a legitimate championship caliber team. You think about watching Vassell. MJ was like the fifth option. MJ Walker, a McDonald's All-American. And now you juxtapose it with this team where you're not good at the you're not good at the one.
All right, so here's the thing, though.
2-3-4, you might be pretty good. You got some wing players.
I'll say this, and I'm going to give – I think we all need to give this coaching staff the benefit of the doubt based on what's happened the last six years, right?
We are. Nobody's taking
– I mean, I wouldn't mind if they made a change.
There's a feeling in the program that – they're having a tough time. They have had a tough time so far because they're playing these older teams with these younger guys, and that as the year goes on, they're going to keep improving while these older teams are going to stay where they're at.
All right.
And so there might be a point where these younger guys catch up, and because they're – look, I mean, you can't tell me – Jalen Worley is a talent.
Absolutely.
It's just he's not ready.
No, that's what I'm saying.
If they're winning enough games and if he
is allowed to grow slowly, yes.
That within 2 months now they could be a problem.
Yeah. I still think
the way
three primary scorers at that point.
Yeah, but then the way Cleveland's coming, I mean,
let's do it.
They could be a much different team in February and March than they were.
Let's win tonight. Headliner questions forthcoming. Stay with.
We got manhandled.